Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Oh, it's a good morning in New York City today. New York football. Just talking on 98.7. Rick and DiPietro, those like to wake up in the morning and say it's a good day in New York football, boy, it's been a while. Harry Douglas in for Jay today, pinch hitting. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, Giants 27, Packers 22. Giants are 4-1. They have one loss on the season where they were hanging tight with the Cowboys, whose defense has been like all world this year. It's emerged. Whose quarterback never loses, right? And that game was a game. Could have gone either way until the very end. The Giants' defense finally, they just gave up. They were giving up yards on the ground in the air. But that was at the end of the game. Until then, it was anyone's ball game. Maybe the Giants are actually good. They just beat the Packers, Key.
Maybe they are. They were number 9 in my power ranking last week. So that'll obviously change based on a couple of losses by a few teams this past weekend. The Giants might be good, though. They might be a good football team. You know, obviously they lost to the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. They've yet to play the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Cowboys and Eagles right now, most people would say they're the leader of the pack within the division. Mm-hmm. But I like the way Daniel Jones is playing. Saquon Barkley obviously has been Saquon Barkley all year long. The defense is coming to the party and playing now. The receivers that they found on the scrap heap is all of a sudden making plays, and they're doing a good job. And Brian Daboll has the team believing in him. So I'm not – look, the record, as Bill Parcells would say, your record says what you are, you are. That's just the bottom line. You are what your record say you are. And they're sitting at 4-1, and you can't complain about that. They got four of them in their back pocket.
Harry, one thing I really do like about the team as a fan, the star of the team is Saquon Barkley. The quarterback is Daniel Jones, high-character guys, and you can see them play well together. Part of the whole thing is the way they play for each other, the way they block for each other, right? Yep. Like the way they're willing to do anything, the way they sell the handoff, the fakes, the whole thing. They got their heart and soul into it. High-character guys, Harry.
Yeah, and I think it's the mindset of Brian Daboll, like he just mentioned. It doesn't matter who's going to be out there. They still believe that they have a chance to win game in and game out, right? You see they're down multiple receivers. They're down defensive guys. But I want to give some credit to Brian Daboll because coaches is important because you have to put your players in positions to succeed, not exploit their weaknesses, but exploit their strengths, right? And that's what the New York Football Giants are doing. They're playing to their strengths, which is rushing the football, offensive line, run blocking, Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, but also leaning on the defense as well. So I got to give credit to head coach Brian Daboll and also Wink Martindale for not just sitting back yesterday and letting Aaron Rodgers just do what he does. You know what? I'm going to heat him up. I'm going to go cover zero. I'm going to bring McKinney on this blitz. McKinney did a great job getting his hands down and batting the ball down on fourth down. They also batted the ball down on third down. So when I look at this team and I look at the Giants and you look at Brian Daboll, this team is not going to make excuses for people who are not out there and what's not getting done. They're going to figure out how to make it work and get wins that way.
And they've been able to do it. And I think as they go on, you know, and I'm sure the scouting department is hovering around some teams and looking at other teams and their options at the receiver position. And you brought up, Harry, what if they went out there and they acquired a guy like a DeAndre Hopkins for, you know, from the Cardinals to the Giants? How much would that help Daniel Jones that he gets to have an alpha dog? I mean, that is so important for the development of a young quarterback.
Josh Allen, Daboll's done this already, right? Josh Allen, he was already improving, then they bring in Diggs. And now he is rocket ship to the moon. Got to have a number one
guy. What it does,
guy.
Though, Max, you have a guy in DeAndre Hopkins whose catch radius is ooh, outrageous, ridiculous. Right? You can put it anywhere near him. He has huge hands, and he's going to make the play. They don't have that right now. They're hoping their receivers – they believe in them, but they're also hoping that their receivers can make the plays versus just knowing that dog and that alpha man out there is going to make that play in every situation possible.
Like I said earlier this year, Max, it was an evaluation period for the New York Giants. And if something comes along – and then all of a sudden, you got a situation where it's like, well, maybe we're evaluating and we're winning and we're in the mix. Let's not just throw it away. And yep. Now they're in the mix.
They're in the mix. By the way, Dan Graziano, Dan Graziano's not on just because. He has this article right now on ESPN.com, guys. Here's the question. Overreaction or not an overreaction? Brian Daboll for Coach of the Year so far.
Oh, it's not an overreaction by no stretch of imagination.
They're 4-1 with. Yeah, think about what we just said. No receivers, a quarterback who they didn't exercise the fifth year, like, you know, no contract, a running back who's just getting back.
Who else would be in the running?
A no name defense, really. Well, except for the rookies.
Who else would be in the running?
Well, Peterson, but he's ahead of Peterson right now. The Giants are ahead of the Jags.
Only person I could think of is probably Belichick.
No, Nick Sirianni.
Sirianni.
But Sirianni's got a team that's much more ready. Sirianni starting the season.
Went to the playoffs last year.
Went to the playoffs starting the season. Most of us said the Eagles are the best team in the division. You know, the Giants were picked to be a high draft pick team.
But if all of a sudden you look up and they're 14-3.
Tough not to give it to them.
Got to give it to them.
It's 14-3. Yep. Belichick winning with his third quarterback.
Yeah.
You know.
But 4-1, man. What a job Dable's done. And it starts to me, guys, with the play call.
It looked like they got this one right, though, Max.
Oh, for sure. From the beginning.
Yeah.
From the beginning, right? Like, and you know what it feels like as a Giants fan, which is so different? When people talk sports, talk radio, you know, yeah, especially in New York. People, and I'm talking about the Giants for the last bunch of years, I felt like I knew more than the GM of the team that I rooted for. That's a terrible feeling, right? and it can't be true, but somehow the decisions that almost every fan would have made are better than the decisions that were being made
for
the Giants.
Well, some of those decisions that the Giants made are working out because
now they are.
Because here's my philosophy on that. It's all about the coach. Because if I could take you and
who hires
coach
the
you
coach?
Up.
Who hires the coach?
Yeah, but that's different. You when you hire a coach and you make bad coaching
multiple
hires,
coaches they made.
Bad coaching hires. But the talent, assembling the talent, to me, is never the issue. It's the coach. Because
they're not
if
that talented, Key.
Dude, they got talent.
They got, hold on. They're drafting up in the top of the first round every year. They have bookends on the offensive line now.
But you
good.
Can get that. You know how many people get that wrong?
The Come Giants on. For years, right?
Many people get drafted high wrong.
No, I get it. The Giants for years. But they finally started investing their first round pick, the highest first round pick, on the offensive line. And this is not, Flowers, who, like, you know, they couldn't coach up. They're getting it right. My point is this. For the first time, they have a GM and coach.
Yes.
Where as a fan, they're like, oh, people come up to me. What do you think the Giants should do? I'm saying, they know better than me. They'll do whatever they do is what they should do, right? Like, they were in competent hands for the first time in a long time.
Well, some of that is being able to relate to your players, too, man. You look at the past coaches that they had. I don't think those guys could relate to the guys like Brian Daboll is relating to them. See him at their first win, a second win, in the locker room, dancing with the guys, and the guys understanding that, okay, this guy believes in us, we can relate to him, we could probably go to him about any and everything, versus the past coaches that they had, hell no, I ain't going up there telling that coach my business, he may use it against me.
Joe Judge, it's
little things like that.
Joe Judge too judgmental. He came in there, I'm a New York type East Coast guy, you know, all that. That's, players don't want to hear that, man. They don't want to hear, we're not putting the names on the back of the jerseys until you earn it. Nobody wants to hear
you
that.
Can
I'm a
do that.
Man.
You can't do that without a resume as a head coach.
Exactly. You can do it as Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Bill Belichick can do that.
You can do it as Belichick.
Got a resume.
Yeah. You can do it as Tony Dungy. You can do it as all those guys.
Can't come in there as a guy who's never even been a coordinator talking that type of tough mess, and they're not going to try and hear
it. I wonder what made the Giants hire him, though. I really want to know.
You know.
What made them hire him?
I have a theory
him.
About that. I think Mara, and I like the way the Giants have been run throughout my life, right? But everyone has a weakness, and I think they are reflexively conservative, meaning it's okay to be conservative, but not where everything needs to be. Oh, this gives me a feeling. It reminds me of how things used to be, and so that's what I want. And if you—
Parcells weren't conservative?
No, but Parcells—
Tom Coughlin wasn't for sure wasn't conservative.
No, but no, I don't mean their politics. I mean their basic point of view, where they make the owner feel like this is the old days, like they're constantly looking backward.
Okay.
And I think Judge gave him that same kind of feeling. Like,
you know,
yeah,
what
this
you're
is
saying?
The kind of football
I could just
look
at Joe Judge, like I told you, Max, before they hired Brian Daboll.
No,
and I
would have
told
that,
you that's not the guy.
Right.
But Max,
just
what
his
you
look alone.
What you're saying is important because when I did the Bill Walsh coaching internship with the Falcons, right, one of the things I said to myself being in the rooms with those guys is that I can't sit here and look at everything the way the game was when I played. Because even in that six-year span, things have transcended, things have changed. So you have to look at things differently versus even the way you may have had success in the past. It might not be the way you need to have success now, and you got to look at things with a more open mind in today's football.
Now, let me tell you something about New York. There are certain teams and certain guys that don't have to buy a drink if they walk into a bar because they have provided the Giants fans, Yankees fans, whoever it is, with some of their best memories ever. Right now, you know what the Giants could use a little more of? A little better pass rush. I mean, Wink can't just scheme it up all the time, and Kayvon's got to come along and all that stuff.
They need a NASCAR.
But not that long ago, did they have a pass rush? Mathias Kiwanuka, two-time Super Bowl champion. 98.7 ESPN New York with us now. Morning, champ.
Good morning. Thanks for the intro. How you guys doing?
What's happening, man?
So just give us your impressions of the Giants win yesterday.
I was impressed, 100%. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I called it, but they got me with the ankle bait. I thought for sure that the ankle was gonna show up a lot more on film. He looked healthy. He looked like he could run the ball. He could play. But, I mean, this is a defensive team, let's be honest. The defense has not given up more than 23 points this season. Daniel Jones has found a way to control the game and to get wins. Obviously, Saquon is running like the man that we all expected him to be running like this entire time. So, I mean, it was impressive to watch. I enjoyed it with the best of them.
You won two Super Bowls with the Giants. What are the Giants, and look, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse, but I am. What are the Giants missing that you guys had on your Super Bowl teams? Like, what are they missing?
I think, so from my standpoint, I always start up front because that's where I was. You know, I came in as a defensive end and got moved to linebacker, but we had, Justin Tuck, OCU Manure, Michael Strahan, but even the other guys, Fred Robbins, Rocky Bernard, Dave Tollison, who came in and did spells, JPP came in later. There were individuals up and down that defensive line who knew that they could beat their one-on-one matchup. So we would go into every game and identify who the fish was, and we were, biting at the chop, like everybody wanted to get a chance to line up against, whoever we consider the fish that week. So in my opinion, if they can get a guy or two, I've been waiting to see, young guy Ojulari come back out there, but if they can get, one or two guys who can consistently win their one-on-one matchup and take some of that heat, that pressure off that back end, I think then you got a game changer.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Daniel Jones. Max stated that the way Daniel Jones has been playing and the way he's gutted things out for the football team, he has a different mindset of him now. What are your thoughts on Daniel Jones and what you think he can be moving forward throughout the season?
I've been impressed. So I was on, ESPN All last year too. I gave that offensive line hell just like everybody else did, and I believe rightfully so. But one of the things I said is that we can't really evaluate what Daniel Jones is or what he's going to be as a player as long as that offensive line was performing the way that it was. I think now with a healthy Saquon Barkley and an offensive line who's playing better, maybe not great, but they're definitely playing better, we're able to see that when he's settled down and he's settled in, yes, he can run, but he can also deliver the ball down the field, and we haven't seen the turnover issues that were plaguing him early on. And I heard you guys mention it before, three coaches in a short time span, like that's a lot. That's a lot for a young man to try to process. And I don't even think he understands that. Most guys have a couple years with one coach or one system to get acclimated, and he's been having to change every single year, and that's just difficult. So right now, I think we're just now seeing what I would consider the beginning of his second career.
So talking to Mathias Kiwanuka, 98.7 ESPN New York host, and of course two-time Super Bowl champion with my beloved New York football Giants. So Mathias, we were talking earlier, right before you got on, about certain coaches relating to players. How Daboll, the wind is on their sails now, right? So they went for the two-point conversion with Saquon. He didn't come in like fronting in a way that it seemed like Joe Judge did, et cetera. And the guys were talking, Harry and Key were talking about how certain coaches relate to players and how that could make a difference. And I think back to your two Super Bowls and Tom Coughlin, Coughlin was not relating to players. Coughlin was strict old school. If you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. And I remember at the time, like, a player committee, a leadership committee formed and approached him about changing the way he did things. And he was as stubborn as he was open-minded enough to listen to that, make a few changes on the margins. You guys won two Super Bowls. Can you describe what that was like and how relating to the players might be influencing what we're seeing now?
Yeah, I think, first of all, Coughlin was a stubborn individual, but he was consistent and he was fair. And that was something that I recognized, was that he was going to hold everybody accountable as best as he could. Now, there's obviously a difference if you got, you know, a couple of all pros under your belt and if you just walked in the door. But for the most part, I mean, everybody was held to the same standard. We had Strahan out there. We used to call them STBs, where you had to get, you know, documented a certain number of sprints to the ball, which means that you're running full speed for 30 yards or more during practice. And if you don't show up on film on the end of the week and it's not counted, then you got to put money in the jar. So we held each other accountable. But that came from top down. You know, when we got to the time where we're winning, so I was a young guy on the first team that won a Super Bowl, and I was an old guy on the second team. And I did see a change in Coach Coughlin with his approach. And I think, you know, forming that leadership council, you know, helped him to get an understanding of, you know, what the young guys were experiencing in the locker room. And there were some times, you know, he tried it. We brought the music out at the end of practice and we tried, and I could see it in his face. He was like, this is not me, but if this is going to get us a win, I'll give it a shot. So I think, you know, I got to tip my hat to him on his ability to understand his weaknesses and bring in coaches and, you know, assistants who could relate to the players and could communicate that information back to him. Cause I don't think you have to do it all on your own. I mean, just be yourself. If you're an old stubborn guy, then be that, but just make sure that you have some ears, you know, around you who can relate to the players. I think he did a good job of that.
Mathias Kiwanuka, two-time Super Bowl champion, 98.7 ESPN New York host. What's your thoughts on Saquon Barkley thus far?
He's a leader. He's a man. He's a leader. He's doing exactly what he said that he was going to do if he had the the health. I mean, I don't know if he's partaking in the rice bucket that you invented, but you know, he's definitely up there. You know, he's definitely gotten in that squat rack. But I think, you know, when you see how players react to an individual, you know how it is when you're on the sideline, when somebody comes off the sideline, you can get a feel or get a sense as to whether or not that player has respect from his teammates.
Absolutely.
Even when he was hurt, even when he was down and he wasn't performing at his best, you could tell that the guys were rallying around him. You know, there's never going to be a Russell Wilson situation where guys aren't going to go, you know, pick him up and dap him up.
Oh my God.
That's their guy.
You didn't just say that.
But that's their guy. You know what I mean? Like that's their guy. That's the leader of the team. But you know, he puts in the effort. He has the talent, and he's well respected.
Is in your eyes, is the NFC East the best division in football? You know, for a lot of years it wasn't looked, you know, great upon. Do you think that's the best football conference in football right now?
I mean, I think. I obviously pay a lot of attention to it because that's the only division I played in. I only played for the Giants. It's my team. So, you know, I played against the Cowboys a number of years. But, you know, the way Philly is playing right now, I think the only thing is Washington might be dragging us down. But it's early in the season. Yeah, we do have a number of teams that are playing well, but I would say like let's let this play out. But for right now, yeah, it looks like it's a real tough division. People are having a real tough time coming into any NFC stadium and getting a win. So I'd say you have to give it to us for right now, but let's see how it plays out.
What's amazing about Key inventing the rice bucket is that it's been around in boxing and kung fu flicks for years, but
I guess
Key brought it to the NFL. He was watching an old Jack Dempsey training footage or something and said, you know what? I think that's going to work in football. Mathias Kiwanuka, ladies and gentlemen, before we get out of here.
Mathias, what do you think about the Tom Brady roughing the passer call yesterday?
Oh, that's right in my wheelhouse right there. I heard Dan Orlovsky was on there earlier. If I'd have hit Tom Brady the way that they let us tee off on Dan back when he was in college, I probably never would have played again. Like, this is a little, it's not a little, it's a lot ridiculous. As a defensive player, there's enough that you're going up against. There was no malicious intent. He did not bring Tom Brady down to the ground, you know, trying to hurt him. He struck him, wrapped him up exactly the way that you're taught. So I think, you know, watching it, that was difficult. If I was on that team, if I was a player, I'd be furious. I'd be pissed. You could turn it in, and they can come back and say, yeah, we made a mistake, but that's not going to help you get the win. So it's just got to be frustrating. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You just got to, you know, take it and move on.
If that's roughing the passer,
then what is roughing
Lawrence Taylor would be serving consecutive life sentences. Like, that's rough. What would they do to Lawrence Taylor back then? That dude, I mean, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to sack the quarterback?
That's how you're taught.
It's
that's
unbelievable.
Exactly how you're taught. When they talk about avoiding penalties, when they talk about, you know, like not getting people hurt, the way he tackled Tom Brady, that is textbook. That is exactly how you're taught as a defensive lineman or a defensive player to bring down the quarterback. I mean, it's got to be frustrating.
And then Brady tried to kick him in the end.
Ten yards, automatic first down, looking sideways at Tom Brady.
Man, he tried to kick the dude at the end. Brady tried to kick him. I just saw that just now on the video. Unbelievable.
Don't look directly at Tom Brady. They'll immediately.
You already know how I feel.
Mathias Kiwanuka, ladies and gentlemen, two-time Super Bowl champion, 98.7 ESPN, New York host. Thank you. Appreciate you coming on with us this morning.
Anytime. Thank you, guys. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate it.
The Giants weren't the only New York team that got a win yesterday. And no, I'm not talking about the Mets, obviously. We're talking football here. Everyone in New York won yesterday except for the Mets. What can we take away from the Jets' blowout win over the Dolphins? Blowout win.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Meantime, if you're listening on ESPN Radio or watching on ESPNU or whatever, just so you know, oh, I'm watching on TV, I got to get in the car, I don't want to miss anything, or I'm getting out of the car, just go to the app. If you have a phone, you have ESPN app on your phone. Go to the app. Click More on the lower right-hand corner. Scroll down, Live Radio. Boom, we're right there for you, live, wherever you go. And we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Key, yep. Harry Douglas in for Jay today. Key, I'll start with you. What can we take away from the Jets? It's not just that they won. They blew them out. The Jets' blowout win of the Miami Dolphins.
They got a young and up-and-coming team that look like that they're paying attention and being coached up right finally. And they are not afraid to answer the call. That's really all you can ask for a young team. When you look at the way that they played against the Miami Dolphins, now look, Miami didn't have it down to their third quarterback. But that didn't matter because the Jets did what they were supposed to do. They took advantage of them in all phases of the game. Not only did they play solid and sound defense, the quarterback did his job, the running backs ran, the receivers caught. And so when you look at that again, here's a situation where my quarterback is 14 to 21, 200 yards and a touchdown. It's all I need. I don't need him to throw for 400 yards.
You'd like Patrick Mahomes, but you don't need him.
I don't need that. Right. I don't need that to be successful and win. And I think when you look at the Jets and you look at the situation, they got an opportunity to turn things around and still be a factor in the AFC East.
Harry, yeah. I had the Jets. I locked it in, the Jets at plus 3.5. I thought there was a good chance they would score the upset. I want you to listen to Robert Saleh on why the team plays better in the fourth quarter. They're being outscored in the first three quarters by something like 40 points so far this year, the point differential. But in the fourth quarter, they flip that right around, and they're outscoring opponents by something like 40 points. Listen to head coach.
You know, if you go back to preseason, it's been our best quarter. You know, we've got a great mindset. We've got a young group. They don't flinch. I feel like we get stronger as we go, and especially with a young group, the more they see, the faster they get. And so when you get to the fourth quarter with such a young group who's not veteran-like, right, and you get to see, and it's everything I talked about, when all the cards are on the table and everyone knows what the heck is going on, can you step up and rise to the occasion? And with a young group, that's what you're hoping for. And so it was fun to watch offense, defense, great complementary football, special teams when that fourth quarter turned and all the cards are on the table and everyone's all in to see our guys elevate another step. And I feel like that's been happening since preseason.
Poor Tyreek Hill ran up on Quinnen Williams on the fumble recovery. Like, man, you better leave that big old dude alone, man.
Trucked him.
Get out of here, little boy.
Take this shoulder. What do you think, Harry?
Well, I will say this. Number one, you don't want to just be a team that, you know, when it comes to the fourth quarter, that's when you start making your plays and your players start stepping up to the occasion. You want to be a four-quarter football team. I'll say that. Now, it is good that these guys are young and they are able to do that and, you know, compartmentalize and say, you know what, we got to put our foot to the gas, put the pedal to the metal. But like he said, when you have your quarterback, Zach Wilson, I think momentum is everything. You look at the last game that they won, right, and they had to come back against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The last two drives for them and the way Zach Wilson performed on those two drives to lead them to touchdowns and get that win over the Steelers, I thought it carried over to yesterday and the performance. You look at Breece Hall, another one of those guys and players, and we talked about this earlier, being able to surround your young quarterback with players to help them succeed, right? You talk about Breece Hall, 97 yards rushing, one touchdown, two catches for 100 yards. Micah Carter at the running back position, two touchdowns. Sauce Gardner on the defensive side, playing lights out football, a long, rangy, tall corner. He's going to be a good one in this league. Got his first interception during the game. But you also see a Garrett Wilson make his little splashes. CJ Uzama, who they brought over in free agency, make his splashes. If they can get this O-line qualified, over time, I think this young Jets team can make some noise throughout the years.
Yeah, and last week on Friday, I talked about Sauce Gardner. I said I needed him to show up. The hype is cool.
That was one of your keys. Out.
Yeah, it was one of my keys. The hype is cool. You wear the suit. You got the chain. You got a couple little barbecue commercials with Sauce and all that. Now I need to see, can you play? Can you play football? Can you live up to where they drafted you at? And he certainly showed up against two top receivers.
Why then? Because he's been in the league already several weeks. He's had some games under his belt. It's a divisional game.
Yeah, that I need you to – you're going up against two receivers. Mm-hmm. That's explosive.
Right.
You hadn't seen that yet. Now, all of a sudden, it's your time. It's your time to arrive and see and let all of us see what the talent is all about, not just the nickname.
What do you guys think about Breece Hall?
I love Breece Hall. I was able to cover him at the college level at Iowa State, and I thought he was tremendous, a three-down back. What he's been able to provide for this team is consistency from the running back position. When you have a guy that can do it rushing the football and catching the football out of the backfield, that says something. But I also got to point this. Situational football, the Jets won yesterday. You talk about red zone and third downs. They were 5 for 6 in the red zone. and I think 5 for 11 on third downs. That's the winning formula. That's winning football if you're the New York Football Jets. Not going 0 for 4 in the red zone, 1 for 3, you know, going 35% on third downs. They want situational football, but Breece Hall, he's a beast, and I think he's only going to get better and be a guy that a lot of people are talking about as years to come as well.
Joe Douglas has done a tremendous job of assimilating some of this talent. Mm-hmm. But, again, I'll say it, it's up to the coaches to get that talent to perform.
Yep.
It's up to the coaches to get it to perform. And over the last several weeks, Robert Saleh's been able to do that.
That's what put the Jets draft for me from when I thought, ooh, that's nice, is they had the two first-round picks. Of course you're going to get talent there.
You keep saying but those – you got to remember, Max, just because you pick it that
but
high –
But on draft day
– On
draft day, the feeling of the fans is usually good, right?
Yeah.
But what put it over the top for me is you got the best running back in the draft also and didn't use either of your first-round picks. That's when I was like, ooh, look at this. Even some people would say don't spend a second-round pick on a running back. But they got the best guy in the draft after they'd already – address needs. Meantime, the Dolphins, I'll tell you what, they have a little quarterback in Tua. He got hurt. They got a little guy backing him up, too. He's like slightly, you know, he's a smaller guy.
Who, Teddy?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, Teddy's 6'2".
It's not just the height. It's his frame is small.
He's 6'2", probably 200, 205.
If he's 6'2".
Yeah, Teddy about 6'2".
Then I'm 6 feet if he's 6'2".
Teddy's about 6'2". He just his body.
I stood next to Teddy. I don't think he's 6'2", brother.
Sure, he's 6'2".
All right.
I think it's more so with Teddy. He doesn't have like the broad shoulders.
But he's slightly built compared to most quarterbacks.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not huge. He's not a huge QB.
You wouldn't make it in professional football, right? Like, man, it's a big boy sport. I don't know how guys like Harry Douglas have long careers. All right, both Bridgewater and Tua are in concussion protocol entering week 6, and that could obviously happen to a quarterback at any size. Are the Giants the biggest surprise in the NFL?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, guys, Commanders Brian Robinson Jr., made his NFL debut 6 weeks after being shot in a robbery. It's pretty good.
It is, yeah. What?
That's what he came out to during the game.
Oh, really?
Ran
out the tunnel with this drone playing. So I can get behind that. I'm here for that, B.
Yeah, listen.
I don't care what nobody say. You don't want to get shot. That's for damn sure. I don't care.
I know that's right.
Hey, look, I don't care what game, what song, because at that moment in time, you're not thinking, all you're thinking is, oh, my God, you know? And so it's good to see him be able to get back on the field. It wasn't necessarily life-threatening or his career-threatening, so he gets to resume his career and get back on the field with his teammates.
You get hit by a bullet, and 6 weeks later, you're back in the – you're alive, let alone back in the game. Terrence Crawford, the welterweight champ, best pound-for-pound fighter in the game. Terrence Crawford was shot early in his career, in his pro career, twice. One hit him in the head, drove himself to the hospital.
Yeah, I ain't going to be – ooh.
Drove himself to the hospital, was fighting not that long after that. Best fighter in the world.
Yeah.
I had two teammates in college while I was playing at Louisville, man. Actually got shot in – those guys was able to come back and play. But I think I mean you don't want to get shot, because I don't want to say it's a phenomenal thing. It's safe not to get shot. But I do think it's remarkable that he was able to come back and actually play within this season. And seeing him carry the football yesterday, it just lets you know his determination. And when your mind's set on something, man, and you want something so bad, you're going to do everything in your power to get back to doing it.
Yeah, getting shot does not feel good, trust me.
Why should shot, we trust
Key,
you?
Key, not you good. Got Key, you got shot before? Where you got shot at?
I done got shot twice.
Where, Key? Once you heard me ask you.
Once in the calf and once in my butt. Mm-hmm. And it
what?
Was not good.
Yeah. Did you? What? When was how soon after you got shot? How old were you, and how soon after that were you on the field?
I was back practicing 3 days later, but if different. So the one in my calf, they was able to. The one in my calf, because I was running and my muscles was contracting, so when I ran, the doctor said, good thing I was contracting my muscle, because if my muscle was relaxed, it probably would have shattered my entire leg.
Wow.
And then so they
that's
were
pretty good
remove,
muscle if it's protecting yeah, your bone
was,
from a bullet.
You know, young and so.
And where was the other one, though? Where you got shot at the
man,
other
stop,
place?
Man, stop, man, in my buttocks, you freak. But <I'm> just, at the same time, you know, they was able to pull him out, and I was at practice. You know, I was, 3 days later, I think it was? I was back practicing.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong. Living in L.A., man. That's all
living
I can say.
In LA, yeah.
Living in
yeah,
L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
Want to see?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPNU. We're on the ESPN app. You can hear us anywhere. We're on your smart speakers. You can download the podcast. And Harry Douglas is in for J. Will today. And Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter, is with us right now. Good morning, Jeremy. Jeremy. Can we not hear Jeremy?
I think, Jeremy, your audio is muted or something.
Hello.
Oh there we go. There's Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how surprised are you? Or what's
your
reaction?
Mic check, 1-2.
We got you. Oh, you know, Jeremy, Jeremy got some bars. You got any bars for us this morning? Or only when you're in studio?
Yeah, but next time, for sure. Next time I'm in-house.
So, Jeremy, what do you think about the Giants and the Jets? They both have winning records. We're in week five. We're heading into week six. They both got winning records.
Max, I think it's good for the league. You have the biggest market in the country, and it's been down for a very long time. I mean, it's been dire, as you know, the last few years. The Jets have slowly rebuilt this thing to where it's not really a mild surprise that they're decent right now. You know, they have a good young coach in Robert Saleh. A lot of pieces, you know, they've drafted well. They've got a lot of draft capital for trades like the Sam Darnold trade, many others, Jamal Adams. And they've picked, you know, good players. I mean, Joe Douglas, the GM, is known for being a good evaluator. It just all depended on whether they can put it together. The Giants are a complete surprise. Like, there's no doubt. I mean, they were looking at this year as a rebuild. You know, let's sort of tear it down. You know, they were looking to save money in a lot of spots this offseason. They were cash and cap, salary cap strapped. With Joe Shane, the GM, and Brian Daboll, they found a way to put a winning product on the field, and it's been impressive. I mean, they were down pretty much their top four wide receivers yesterday, and they beat Green Bay. I mean, that's sort of unheard of.
Are they legit contenders, that is, the Giants?
I just don't think the roster was built to be that, Key. You know, like, I think that anything they do this year is they look at as sort of gravy. You know, thinking next year and the year after is when they make their run. You know, Daniel Jones was very clearly a Band-Aid in this situation when they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. They said, hey, let's see what we have. Let's put, to their credit, they did invest in offensive line help. They put a better product there around him. But they haven't really spent, you know, big in necessarily other areas. The defense is made up of a lot of younger players. And I don't think they're a contender, no. I think probably the Jets might be a little closer just because they've had a GM and head coach in place together for a few years now, and they've used a ton of draft capital on young talent, where the Giants haven't had that chance yet. It just happens that Saquon's going crazy and putting together this offensive player of the year type run that they didn't necessarily expect, but they knew he could do.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts on, you know, the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray and his awareness at the end of the game yesterday, and also Cliff Kingsbury and situational football?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was tweeting about that game yesterday. I'm like, look, Kyler Murray's a flawed quarterback, but look at the way he's so good at this, right? That last minute, move the ball downfield, run when you have to, get some easy completions. Like, he can be the hero, right? And then as soon as I tweet that, the spike happens. You know, it sounds like somebody there thought that they had gotten the first down instead of being third and one. So I don't know if there was confusion with the officials as to where the spot was. Either way, they had time. It seems like they had time to communicate that. So, you know, with the quarterback, yeah, you would think that that's, you know, a situation that they would be aware of in the moment, unless you have a head coach or people in your ear screaming clock, 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 you know, like that. There's some context there, and it sounds like that's what happened. So a little bit of confusion. And, you know, I don't know, the Cardinals are a weird team. They're getting DeAndre Hopkins back, though. I'm still bullish on them to an extent. I don't necessarily think they're a playoff team, but I think they'll still be in it, and they'll win games like they should have won yesterday.
So, Jeremy, is there a quarterback controversy getting ready to start brewing in Dallas? And when is Dak Prescott expected to actually return?
So he's going to shoot for this week, but it's certainly not a slam dunk, Key, because of the issue of just being able to avoid strip sacks on that injury on the hand. Can he throw the ball? Can he avoid fumbles? Do all the things that you need to do. That's still very much up in the air. But he had the surgery week two, and they were hoping for a 4-week recovery at best. That puts him at this week. So we'll see. To me and everything I've heard, there's zero quarterback controversy. I mean, Cooper Rush, what did he complete, 10 passes yesterday? I mean, it was a very conservative effort. Now, winning is infectious, and when you have somebody in place, a quarterback who's winning for you, that does carry a lot of weight. If they lose to Philly with Cooper Rush, that makes it maybe easier to go away from him. You know, I could see it. I could see them playing conservative and just hanging with Rush one more game, not as a controversy, but just to see how long he can keep winning. You know, if he goes 6-0, it's a mojo thing at that point. You know, the team's feeling great, but there's zero controversy. I mean, once Dak's ready to play, he is the better quarterback. He'll be in there.
What if Cooper Rush goes 20 of 25, 310 yards, two touchdowns in the air, and one on the ground against the Eagles, and the defense plays lights out, and they blow the
Eagles
out?
And one on the ground. So he's running like Jalen Hurts?
Okay. No, just one on the
quarterback sneak.
Yeah, quarterback sneak,
I'll give you that.
two-yard plunge.
Man, okay, so in that case, Jerry Jones would milk it. I mean, all week it'd be like, oh, we got two great quarterbacks, and it would be this huge storyline that the Dallas Cowboys know how to blow up. That's what they do best. And so it would at the very least be interesting. I don't know, I'm kind of with you. I can see it just from the sense of riding a hot hand. They're obviously not replacing Dak Prescott with Cooper Rush. I could definitely see them going another week in that case. I could, just because, you know, if – it's so hard to win in this league, and if you get momentum, you have to seize it.
Yeah, not to mention, he and I have been talking about it. What if Dak comes back? You just beat Philadelphia. Now Dak is ready, and you're going to play him against Detroit, and he loses to Detroit. The other dude wins 6 in a row, beats Philly on the road, and then loses, and then the starter loses. Now you got a quarterback controversy.
I know.
All right.
No, but you got to play the big picture here. Dak's a top 10 to 12 quarterback in the league. Like, it's not really a discussion.
We don't really know what Cooper Rush is, dude. He's never lost. He's a top 10 QBR. He's never lost.
Could be Tom Brady. Could 2.0. Be Kurt Warner.
Who knows? All right.
Unless he's like a Kurt Warner story where, like, you know, cut many times and he was the secret top guy. But I don't know. I like him. He's a good player, you know.
What did Paulie put in you and Key's coffee this morning? I got to talk to Paulie.
I don't drink coffee, man. That's for teachers.
What did he put in your water then, Key?
When he climbs the pocket. How's he look to you?
Looks good.
Looks good, right? Yeah. Looks smooth.
It's smooth. It looks nice and smooth. Style. Herky jerky.
I love coffee.
I look, man. I
do.
I don't think it'll happen, but who knows?
Right.
knows?
That is the great Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So, guys, I don't know. Like, I hear what you were saying about the money. Like, Key had talked me out of the Cooper Rush thing because I was thinking, look, what if? And it was a big what if at the time Jerry Jones started the whole ball rolling with the media. You know, I'd love a quarterback controversy. It means we're winning. So I thought, well, what if they are winning? And he's doing and Key, the way you and I described it is exactly this. What if he just keeps doing two touchdowns, no turnovers, 182 yard, whatever it is, and they keep winning? Now Dak is ready for Philly, but you just beat the Rams. Why would you bring Dak back against Philly on the road just to lose? So you keep going with it. Now it's Detroit. You're going to bring – and you beat Philly. Now, if he loses, fine. But you said, oh, there's all this money owed, except that you could also look at it. We spent all this money on our quarterbacks. Who cares who's getting what? This is the money we spent on the quarterbacks, and we're winning.
Chop it up in the quarterback room. This money in the quarterback room.
You won't believe what Rex Ryan had to say about Brian Daboll and Joe Judge. It's coming right up ESPN Radio.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.